Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Those of you who have had the experience of being parents, or if you have close family members who have had that experience, you know what a feeling there is of excitement and anticipation when a new baby is on the way. Certainly the expectant couple themselves is full of that excitement, but also the soon-to-be grandparents are also eager with anticipation. Friends and other family members join with that happy couple in waiting for that joyous arrival of their child. And then, of course, when the baby safely arrives, there's thanksgiving and joy at welcoming the new child into the family, giving thanks to God for that wonderful gift of a new life, a new member of the family. And of course, on this day of celebration, we give thanks to God for the gift of His Son, His eternal Son, co-equal with Him in majesty and power and glory, but who willingly humbled Himself to be born as a helpless baby. And of course, joining together with us today, although our numbers here in this building might be relatively few, but we know there are millions, literally, hundreds of millions of Christians around the world celebrating this same wonderful gift of our Savior God on this day, rejoicing together with us, sharing in this happiness about the Savior who was born to rescue us from our sins. As the angels announced in the reading that we just heard from Luke chapter 2, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. On this day we commemorate and we give thanks to God for His Son made manifest in human flesh and blood. We rejoice in the coming of our Savior, the beautiful Savior, Son of God and Son of Man, as we sing in that favorite hymn. Now, as we think about the birth of any child, any baby, is a miracle from God. The fact that, as God tells us, that He knits us together in our mother's womb. What an amazing thing that the way God creates and forms a child there, just from small microscopic cells at first, but then growing us and building us into the fully developed and amazingly complex beings that we are by His amazing creation. And on Christmas Day, our hearts are even more filled with wonder and praise as we behold the birth of Jesus. Because there in a manger lies not just an ordinary child who is dependent on his mother, on his parents for all the care and protection and everything else that he needs, but yet especially so because, as the Apostle Paul writes in Colossians chapter 2, in this special child, all the fullness of the deity, of God Himself, lives in bodily form. That is why this baby born in Bethlehem is so unique, so incomparable, so unlike any other baby who has ever been born throughout the history of the world. And so the announcement of the angels to those simple shepherds on that first Christmas about this miracle baby who came to be the Redeemer of all people from all sins, that message fills us with joy, just as it filled those shepherds with joy who first were blessed to hear that message. No other announcement that has ever been made on earth by anyone or even by angels could surpass the happiness and joy of this message, of the announcement of the birth of the world's Savior. And so on this Christmas day, as we just sang in that hymn, the call goes out to all people. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Let us praise Him. Give thanks to God for this wonderful gift. And as we mentioned earlier in the service, thinking about the promises, the prophecies that God had made about the Savior coming in the future to His people in the Old Testament, we realize that those people living in the time of the Old Testament before the coming of Christ, they did not have many of the same spiritual privileges that you and I enjoy today. living after the time that the Savior has come. What we see now in fulfillment spelled out in full detail in the pages of the New Testament, the people in the Old Testament time, they only saw in anticipation, in glimpses, in foreshadowings of things that would come in the future. God's prophets assured God's people on the basis of the mighty deeds that God had done for them in the past that the Lord would not leave them hopeless and despairing. God gave his people repeated promises of a Messiah, a Savior, who would come to set them free from their sins and from the guilt that their sins bring and from the consequences of eternal suffering and hell that we deserved because of our sins. And among those prophets, perhaps the chief among them who announced this good news to God's people was the prophet Isaiah. Sometimes Isaiah is referred to as the evangelist of the Old Testament because Isaiah's book of prophecy is so full of good news, promises of the Savior who would come in the future and the work that he would do to save God's people. Isaiah's very name itself, in fact, means the Lord saves. And so in our text, we see that Isaiah is telling the people of Judah, especially the southern kingdom of God's people of Israel, to prepare themselves for the coming Savior, even though that was still more than 700 years in the future from when Isaiah was speaking and writing these words of prophecy. And now to understand fully the message that Isaiah is speaking to God's people here in this reading before us today, we need to think back to the circumstances that the people found themselves in at that time. And remember, the spiritual state, sadly, of so many of the people of Judah and of Israel at that time and for centuries before that time, that tragically so many of God's chosen people whom God had showed his mercy and love toward in so many ways for hundreds and thousands of years, sadly so many of them had turned away from worshiping the true God. They'd been enticed and attracted away by the worship of false gods of many of the nations and peoples that neighbored and surrounded them. And sadly, tragically, many of those members of God's people joined with those pagan nations in their disgusting, idolatrous worship rituals, worshiping those false gods and idols. One of Israel's most wicked kings not only approved of, but also promoted the worship of false gods. And in fact, he persecuted worshipers of the true God and prophets of the true God. But as God warns, he says, he will not be mocked. And he certainly was not. Just as God had warned those disobedient people, God used the powerful Assyrian Empire to conquer first the northern kingdom of Israel and then to subjugate the southern kingdom of Judah, making them pay tribute to that mighty Assyrian Empire. And the southern kingdom of Judah avoided the fate of being conquered and deported as so many of the people of the northern kingdom of Israel were. But later, God sent judgment also on the people of Judah and the southern kingdom through the Babylonian Empire and its king Nebuchadnezzar, as they totally destroyed the capital city of Judah, Jerusalem, and God's temple, and carried off so many of the treasures from God's temple and so many of the people from Judah and Jerusalem into captivity and servitude in Babylon. God used that Babylonian Empire as his rod of judgment against the disobedient people of Judah. Yet in his mercy, we see God again and again through the prophet Isaiah announcing comfort to the people who were living under such harsh judgment. God sent his prophet Isaiah to them, who brought new hope from God to God's people. Through Isaiah, God assured his people that he had not forgotten about them in their time of distress, that he had promised and he would indeed bring about salvation for them. God promised to them that just as he had used those powerful empires of Assyria and Babylon to bring his judgment upon them because of their sins, he would also later use another empire, the Persian Empire, to bring them back from their captivity, back to their homeland of Judah and Jerusalem, to be able to rebuild their homes that had been destroyed, to rebuild God's temple that had been destroyed, and to continue worshiping God there, to prepare that place for the coming Savior. And so Isaiah's message, not only for those people of that day, but also for us today, we see in these verses. See, your Savior comes. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him, referring to God's people returning from their captivity and exile. And about them, the prophet writes, they will be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you will be called sought after, the city no longer deserted. Think about the people who were living under the condemnation of that judgment, having been conquered and subjugated by the Babylonian Empire, carted off into captivity in that foreign land and pressed into servitude for that foreign people who did not worship the true God. Think about the events in the book of Daniel, of people whose lives were threatened if they did not bow down and worship false gods. God miraculously spared the lives of Daniel's three friends. But we can imagine that many other people's lives were not spared under the threat of death and persecution there in Babylon. But now the joy of knowing this promise of salvation, that God was not forsaking his people, that salvation would indeed come to them, that the unfaithful people would be changed, their hearts would be converted, and instead they would be called the holy people. Those people who had formerly been idolaters, worshipers of false gods, they would instead see the limitless love and forgiveness of God, that God, through his Savior, would take away their sins, and he would make them the redeemed of the Lord. Jerusalem, that capital city of God's chosen people, that had been destroyed and was laying in ruins, would instead again be called sought after, and the city no longer deserted as God brought his people back from captivity. What a joyful announcement that was for the people of Isaiah's day, even though that was 700 years before the ultimate fulfillment of that salvation would come about, when God finally sent the Savior, not just for them, but for the whole world. And certainly today, on this wonderful day of joy, as we celebrate God's ultimate fulfillment of that salvation, what greater joy it brings us to know all of the details of the way that God finally brought that promise of salvation to fulfillment through his Son. Think about even the wonderful blessing that the prophets in the Old Testament had of being the mouthpiece for bringing those promises of God's salvation to his people. Yet the Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1 about how even those prophets who had that wonderful privilege of speaking those promises of the Savior, even they longed to know more about the details of just how that salvation would come about, of just who that Savior would be and when he would come. Peter writes that the prophets longed to find out these things. Even angels wanted to know all of those details, but they weren't revealed to them yet. Ultimately, they only saw foreshadowings and glimpses of the coming Savior's work. But by God's grace, we are privileged to see the full picture, painted in all of its detail, of God's Savior, God's Son, Jesus. We know the wonderful implications of Jesus' salvation for us. That because of Jesus and his work of salvation in our behalf, Satan can no longer condemn us. God assures us there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In God's immeasurable mercy, he has sent a Savior who has broken the devil's power over us. Jesus has delivered us from all of our sins. He has, in fact, totally taken our place. God tells us in his word that Jesus became sin. He took our guilt totally away from us, totally upon himself, so that in God's eyes, it was as if we had never sinned, and in fact, as if Jesus himself had committed all of the sins that each one of us, that every person in the world has committed. And so the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so Jesus went to his death on the cross of Calvary to suffer and to die for the sins of all people. And so you and I today can rejoice that over the record of all of our failures, of all of our imperfections, all of our inadequacies, and all of our rebellion and revolt against God's law and his will for our lives, over all of that sin, God has written, paid in full. Paid in full by the blood of Jesus, our Savior. This positive assurance from God gives us peace, true peace, when we can otherwise find no rest for ourselves by all the means that we seek to find earthly peace for ourselves. We have peace. Peace for the past, for the present, and for the future. As we look back to our past, as we remember the sins that we have committed, the sins of our youth, of our rebellious ways, perhaps the sins of our more recent past as we continue to give in to temptation and sin and go against God's ways. We have no more power than those people of Israel and Judah at the prophet Isaiah's time had in themselves to remove their guilt and sin. And we have confidence that because of Jesus, because of his sacrifice for us, we are no longer in our sins. Instead, just as God's prophet Isaiah said in these words, we are also called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. Think about another part of Isaiah's book of prophecy in chapter 53, when he wrote in such detail about the way that the Savior would be the substitute and bear the sins of all people. He wrote, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And Isaiah makes this precious promise, by his wounds we are healed. We are perfectly and permanently and fully healed from all of our sins and all of the suffering that our sins bring. Through the Savior whose birth we celebrate today, we are fully forgiven. We're fully justified in God's sight, declared not guilty of all of our sins. And also for the present, for today, God gives us peace. For today, with all of the problems that we face, with all of the turmoil and challenges in the world around us, as who could have predicted this? That the pandemic and all these restrictions would still be happening, that people would still be suffering in so many different ways. But God assures us through Isaiah in chapter 41 of Isaiah's book of prophecy that we are never alone, that God is always with us. He writes, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. And of course, these precious words, this assurance of God's abiding presence with us and his help and blessing for us, don't only apply to the present, but also to the future. As we go forward into the future, whatever that might hold for each one of us, we have the confidence of God's promise so that we can say with the Apostle Paul, as he says in 2 Timothy 4:18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. And so we respond to all of these promises of God's love and blessing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Let this joy of Christmas, let the pledge of salvation from God to us cheer our hearts, not just today, but every day going forward. Let these words of God's prophet Isaiah encourage each of us to share the good news about the birth of the Savior and about the way he has accomplished our salvation. tell others, just as those shepherds did, the message that the angels announced to them, the message that is for everyone. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. Spread these glad tidings about Jesus, about the Son of God who came in human flesh and blood as our substitute for our salvation, for the salvation of all people of the world. Say together with the Apostle Paul, as he does in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich, spiritually rich. For your own salvation, put your complete trust in Jesus as your Savior. And then you will be called, just as Isaiah says, the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. We have the full assurance, the full confidence that together with all the heavenly host, with all the other believers who have gone on before us in faith, we will join together with them and with all the angels of God in heaven, surrounding the throne of our Savior Jesus, praising and glorifying him for all eternity. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Amen.